You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. Today we're exploring the essential work of protecting our local ecosystems with Rogue Valley's Pollinator Project, a volunteer-led nonprofit dedicated to educating the community and creating pesticide-free pollinator corridors throughout Southern Oregon. Joining me in the studio are two educators from the organization's youth education program, Pollinator Pals. Ethan Robinson is the Pollinator Pals manager. He joined the project through AmeriCorps and shares a deep passion for insect biology, ecology, and helping people appreciate native insects. Welcome to the exchange, Ethan.
Hello, thanks for having me.
And Eddie Tovar is a Pollinator Pals community educator. He's a Rogue Valley native and graduate of Southern Oregon University's elementary education program. He has extensive experience with public schools, outdoor summer camps, and youth sports coaching. Welcome to the exchange, Eddie.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
So let's start with learning a little bit about what drew you both to the Pollinator Project. We'll start with you, Ethan.
So I've been a fan of bugs my whole life. I really liked going out with my siblings, looking at lizards outside, but also seeing what the lizards were eating, so little ants or termites, and seeing them. Yeah, it's kind of weird. Seeing them be eaten by everything made me go, huh, that seems important. I want to learn more about that.
So you were studying the food chain.
Yeah. I didn't know that's what it was called at the time. I was just kind of going wandering around the backyard going, ooh, bug, scary. But kind of since then, I've enjoyed wandering around outside looking for what's going on. I went to SOU for a couple years studying environmental science and biology because I took that fascination with insects and wildlife and wanted to see, okay, how do we protect that? How do we make sure that the things threatening those have a chance to, well, we know how to deal with them and we can deal with them on a local level.
Okay, and so you had this interest in insects, which turned into an interest in the ecosystem, which turned into pollinator projects.
Yeah. So I started with a pollinator project, Rogue Valley, through AmeriCorps. And that was kind of my first big job where I got to choose what I got to do. So I reached out to schools, reached out to different organizations in the area, and figured out how we could get involved teaching kids about these plants, the pollinators, and how they're really, really weird and interesting. And if you take some time to stare at them for a while, you can probably see something weird happening. And that's really fun.
Okay, we're going to get back to that. I know boys are kind of fascinated with insects and creepy crawly things, but girls, I don't know about that. We'll come back to you on that one. Eddie, tell me, how did you get involved with the Pollinator Project?
Same with Ethan. As a little kid, my dad worked at an orchard. It was called Hillcrest Orchard over in Medford, and he was the gardener there. And during the summer, we'd go there during lunch. So me and my three siblings, along with my mom, she'd pack us all in the minivan and drive us over there to have lunch with my dad. And it was nice to see my dad, but it was awesome to see the garden and all the flowers and all the bugs there. So my brother and I would catch grasshoppers, look at praying mantis. And I remember, like, that summer, like, we'd go, like, every day. My little brother was just born that year, so it was a chance for my dad to see my little brother. But for us, it was also a chance to see all those bugs and be in that garden. Where I lived, the garden wasn't too big where we lived, so being over there is amazing, being able to be in that environment and see all the critters and so on. So I remember that specific summer being like, aha, like these bugs are awesome.
Okay, so that's the start. And then you ended up at SOU
SOU, wanted to work with the youth. I eventually worked on a capstone, wanting to provide an outdoor camp for lower-income youth, and I ran a camp and up in the Applegate, and I got to explore that. And then I went into working at public school and special education and so on. And then I remember, like, just going back to how much fun I had exploring and being outside in nature. So eventually I was like, I need to be in this world. So I talked to a lot of the organizations here in Southern Oregon that work in that environment, and eventually talked to a couple of them, and then eventually Pollinator Project Rogue Valley. I saw Ethan. I was volunteering for this place in Ashland in the mountains called the Crest of Willowette. I saw Ethan there talking about bugs with the kids, and I met him there. I talked to him a little bit about pollinators, but wasn't expecting much. A couple weeks later, they were offering a job. I applied, and now me and him are talking bugs together, and we actually been back there to the Crest of Willowette talking bugs together. So.
Okay, so now you two are joined at the hip. Your educational work emphasizes getting kids informed and caring about nature at a young age, Ethan. Why is starting early our best chance for saving native plants and pollinators?
Well, the example that I'd like to use is my sister. I have an older sister named Rosemary who lives out in the middle of nowhere in the desert in Nevada. And like me, she was really excited about these plants, these insects, the lizards and toads in particular. And now at her in her home, she's brought those native plants in and has things like Rocky Mountain bee plant, where she'll get sand wasps that don't sting people but do eat spiders, and sweat bees that sometimes will drink sweat, but they'll also drink cow tears. And she's created a little ecosystem with native plants out in, it's a little oasis. And that's because at a young age, she saw these things and also kind of made the connection, okay, what we plant matters. The plants that we have in our backyard, you know, Nevada covered in sagebrush. And we had lots of interesting insects visiting the sagebrush. So she kind of figured out, okay, I can recreate that using native plants and have some of those interesting species visiting my own garden. And it brings her a lot of joy.
Okay, so we can learn how to create our own ecosystems right in our own backyard. My guests are Ethan Robinson, who manages the Pollinator Pals program with the Rogue Valley Pollinator Project, and Eddie Tovar, the Pollinator Pals community educator. So walk me through, what is a Pollinator Pals lesson? Eddie, we'll start with you. What core concepts do you teach, interactive tools, hands-on materials? How do you bring this into the classroom or bring the classroom outside?
Yes, so we really try to focus on native pollinators and native plants. But oftentimes when we first enter a classroom or outside for the first time, a lot of the students, their first experience with the bee isn't necessarily a very positive one. They'll like bring up about being stung and so on. So like it's important for when Ethan and I walk in, it's like we're aware of that. So we hear it often. So making sure that like we talk about bees in a positive light and what they can provide. So often we talk about how they can be helpful with food and how a lot of the foods we eat, bees help. And then right away, like a kid's like, oh, okay, they help with the foods that we eat. And in the beginning, there's kids like that don't want to look at bees or don't really care. But over the summer, we partnered up with TMC, great program. And I always talked about leafcutter bees, and they were going to help us build leafcutter bee houses. So at first, one kid did not want to build a house that invites bees. But by the end of it, he was very excited to want to protect bees. So a lot of our program is like getting kids to want to protect and care about pollinators. So
you're building that relationship. But Ethan, building a relationship with bees is one thing. Building a relationship with those creepy crawly insects is a whole nother ball of wax.
Oh, yeah. There are some weird bugs out there. I mean, you have the leafcutter bees, which are basically little fairies carrying perfectly cut flower petals to build their homes out of, which is adorable. But then you'll have a Norton's giant ichneumonid wasp, which looks like it has a 2-inch long stinger. But if you take some time to look a little deeper, you find out it's not a stinger. It's an egg-laying tube that they use for laying eggs in garden pests, and they pollinate carrots. So this creepy crawly that's on the surface looks, I will admit, horrifying, is actually really, really beneficial.
So, Eddie, you've taught in both traditional classrooms and outdoor camp settings, right?
Yes.
Well, what are the unique transformations do you see when children learn directly within nature?
Yes. So one of the first things of being outside that I always remember too is just we're getting off the screen. So and today, I catch myself being on the phone or on the screen when I'm home. So like being outside with the kids, it's for some for the first time they're looking not just at the flower, but like what is in the flower. What so like there's a flower. Okay, it's a flower. Okay. Oh, there's pollen in the flower. Oh, wait, there's a bee. Oh, wait, it's not a bee. It's a fly that looks like a bee. What? Like, so just really being intentional with what we see in nature. And Ethan and I, like, by us being able to guide them, they're able to see more in that flower. So an opportunity to explore.
Yeah, one of the activities that I usually run as an intro is just practicing observation, where I'll have all the kids close their eyes, sit in a circle, and listen for birds. There are some pollinating birds, like hummingbirds, but we like to listen for birds because they eat pollinators. If there's a lot of different birds, then that means you might have a good variety of insects in your ecosystem. So I'll have kids close their eyes, listen, and count how many different bird calls they can hear, and point to where they think the sound is coming from. And just stopping and focusing on one thing really gets kids in the headspace of like, okay, there are things here that I haven't been paying attention to. And opening yourself up to that sensory input makes a big difference. So when we're teaching lessons like seed dissection or pollinator ID or making art with flowers, kids, when they're open to diving a little deeper and looking a little deeper, like Eddie was saying, they can find weird things or exciting things that can hook them into, okay, this is interesting. I want to maybe learn more and maybe protect it.
Okay, so you're giving them an opportunity to build a relationship with the plants, with the pollinators, with the ecosystem itself, and why it's important for them and why it needs to be protected. And so as young kids, they'll take that into adulthood. What do you hope they'll do with it when they're adults?
Ooh, Eddie, do you want to talk about the library programs and the kids taking seeds home?
Yeah, so luckily this summer I've been at 6 different libraries through the Jackson County Library Services. And one of my favorite things is we get to dissect the seeds, but at the end we get to take some native seeds. Kids get to make native seed packets, get to draw, they get to find out what the seeds need, they get to take it home, and then they get to plant it later at home. And some of them are host plants for butterflies, so the idea that like their seed can eventually become a home for butterflies is something I really enjoy, because a lot of times we just think about the flower or the plant providing pollination, but that a caterpillar can be eating that plant and using as an ecosystem. You want to add to it, Ethan?
Yeah, like we have hundreds of different butterfly and moth species here, each with their own preferences. For like monarchs and milkweed is a famous example, but there are tons of other host plants. So giving kids the chance to take a little way to support pollinators home is really impactful.
Well, I understand you all have a fundraising event coming up, and we've got about 90 seconds left. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, so we're going to be at Clyde's Corner on Monday the 14th from 5 to 8 p.m. There's going to be food, drinks, lots of trivia, games, lots of fun things. But really, it's a way for the community to see what we're doing, learn something themselves, and be a part of supporting our work in schools, with libraries, just helping kids build those connections with native plants and pollinators, and taking a bit of that home to share or start their own garden and support wildlife in their own way.
Okay, so if listeners want to invite pollinator pals to their school or support your work in other ways, where can they go to learn more?
We have a website, pollinatorprojectroguevalley.org, and we have a little education tab. So if you go to the Pollinator Pals tab, there's a form. We'd be happy to visit your school.
Okay. Well, thank you both for coming today.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
My guests were Ethan Robinson and Eddie Tovar of the Pollinator Project, Rogue Valley in Phoenix.